Welcome to the Real Life English Podcast, where we help dedicated English learners just like you cultivate the courage, the confidence, and the skills that you need to understand real life native English, to communicate clearly with people from all around the world, and to make your life an epic global adventure. Now, are you ready to go beyond the classroom and start living your English? Can I get an aw yeah? Great study routine is an essential part of advancing on your language journey, but sometimes it can be difficult to fit studying into your busy schedule. So today, we'll talk about different things you can do in your day-to-day life to effortlessly improve your English.
Listen until the end to learn some new habits that will help you break out of intermediate and speak English fluently and confidently.
Yeah, boys and girls, citizens of the world, this is Ethan from Real Life English, where we believe that listening to podcasts is a fun, natural, convenient, and
enlightening
way to learn English. So download this podcast and listen to it while you're stuck in traffic, riding your bike, separating out your recycling, or even
mopping the floor.
I'm joined here in the Global Studio, once again, by the most leka teacher in all of South Africa, the one and only Kase. How's it going, Kase?
Hey, Ethan. Hey, guys.
So what does it mean if you're mopping the floor?
Well, literally, you would have instrument. What is it called? Like
a tool, I guess.
A tool for cleaning the floor. Usually, you know, there are many different kinds of mops. So this tool or instrument tool would be called a mop. And the activity is called mopping. So this tool usually has like spongy bit at the end.
Suppose it depends where you go in the world, right? I think that's one of those like cultural differences.
Because
one of the things I was shocked with when I lived in Brazil is they would use like literally like a big rag, and then they had like a giant squeegee, which is like it's like similar to a mop, but just like a kind of long rubbery part on the end, and they kind of just push around this rag with the mop. Yeah, that was really different. But like in the States too, we have the same. That's like got a spongy bit on the bottom. Or maybe like threads, right?
Yeah,
like lots of threads,
right.
And you kind of like wet that and use it to clean the floor. But now I'm living in the 21st century because we have a robo vacuum that also has like the mopping bit. So no longer have to actually do the manual labor that comes along with mopping.
That's true. It is quite hard work because you literally have to wring out the as you said, the thread bits at the end or the spongy bit. I mean, it usually has like a little section at the top that dries the sponge so that you can start over and clean a different part. But yeah, it's manual work and it's quite hard too.
And you said wring out. What does that mean?
To twist the whatever. It could be a cloth or whatever you're wringing out. Would be sort of like a twisting motion to get the water out.
Yeah. So of course, today's podcast is not about cleaning, but it can be useful to know these different things because there are definitely words that you need if you go to an English-speaking country or to another country where you don't speak the language and you need to maybe go to the store and buy these things, or you're living with other people and you might have different chores, different responsibilities around the house that you have to take care of, and it might be sweeping up or mopping. And we must both have tidying up our houses on the mind, since I said separating out your recycling and you said mopping the floor.
Yeah, I guess it's because, you know, it's those daily activities that we do that, you know, during those, it's the perfect, I think, opportunity to fit some studying into, you know, your daily life. So yeah, I guess it's on our minds today.
Most definitely. And maybe someone is listening to this while they're tidying up the house. I definitely like to listen to podcasts while I'm doing that so I can kill two birds with one stone.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's good. I think killing two birds with one stone is usually the most efficient way to do things.
For those of us with busy lives, like anyone listening to this podcast, since that's exactly what we're talking about, what does it mean if you kill two birds with one stone?
It's doing two things that you really need to do. Or not. Doesn't necessarily have to be two, it could be more than two, but it's like multitasking, like, you know, managing to get more than one thing done at the same time.
Mm-hmm. So we'll be talking about a lot of different things that you can use to kill two birds with one stone. So studying your English while you're doing something else that you do every day or that you have to do, so, which is really, for those of us nowadays, most of you listening probably have busy lives. Maybe you have kids you have to take care of, or like me, you have a dog that you have to take out to walk, and it can be useful if you can squeeze in your study habits while you're doing these things that you have to do. But before we get into that, we have a shout out to one of our very special listeners and app users.
So we have a shout out from Shibby, who says, "Thanks a million, guys, for this app. I really appreciate all your effort to help us in our journey with English. I listen to your podcast every day and try to connect with other English learners around the world. And this is absolutely amazing. When I was a child, I had a dream to be able to talk with other people around the world without borders. And now my dream is becoming true. It's amazing."
That is really amazing, Shibby. So I'm so glad that we're helping you to accomplish a lifelong dream. And why don't you check out the app as well, dear listener? Go accomplish your dream of wanting to speak English more naturally and confidently. You can do it every single day, and it only requires a few minutes. And if you want us to shout you out, once you've tried it out, then go leave us a 5-star review on your favorite app store, and that way we can find you and say something nice about you as well. So we're going to get into a lot of other convenient ways that you can practice your English every day. But before we do, we're trying something out a bit new, or maybe it's been a really long time since we've done this actually. Learning English with a crazy news story. Crazy but true news story. So let's get into it.
Yeah, so today we're looking at a story that comes from South Africa. And it's about a man who was unemployed, and he really had this lifelong dream of flying in a helicopter. So he didn't have any money, he didn't have any job, but he had this dream, and he then decided to build his own helicopter.
I love this because it's one of those heartwarming stories. It's like really when you set your mind to something, anything is possible, even building your own helicopter with recycled materials.
Yeah, so this is a story about a man. His name is Caesar, and he lives in an informal settlement in Rustenburg, which is a township here in South Africa. It may not fly, but the 35-year-old reached for the sky with his helicopter made from recycled material. Mbata, originally from Libode in the Eastern Cape, who lives in the Caesar informal settlement near Rustenburg, became fascinated with helicopters after seeing one during a strike on the Platinum Belt in the Northwest last year. His helicopter sports a television set, a clock on the back of a seat, a two-way radio, and a fire extinguisher. It has green and red light on its tail that flashes at night. Its engine is powered by petrol, and a motorbike battery is used to propel the router. The router hub is housed in an old soft drink crate. The cockpit is built out of soft drink crates. The helicopter stands on a four-wheeled trolley built out of scrap metal. The steering wheel is made from a PlayStation console. There's also a clutch and an accelerator. So after the news story was published, readers then pledged to help him because they were so inspired by the story. And he was then offered several jobs and was taken on a ride in a real helicopter.
That's so amazing. I can imagine if you're not reading along, it could be difficult to understand this. But if you check out our app, then you can follow along on the transcript. But we'll go over some of the more difficult vocabulary here. A lot of it's very specific to vehicles because it's talking about how he built this thing. So he says he became fascinated with helicopters after seeing one during a strike on the Platinum Belt in the Northwest. What is a strike?
Okay. I think in this context, though, there's a specific meaning, which is that it could be two things. It could be a strike as in like a protest, which happens quite often here in South Africa. They're not satisfied with something, so they end up protesting it, and that could be a strike.
Mm-hmm. It's like they stop working until that condition is changed or until they get their demands met, right?
Exactly. So usually, you know, employees of companies or businesses might go on strike. It could also be an attack. So a strike could be an attack.
Oh, I didn't think about that, but you're right. Yeah. I was wondering, I had thought of that more like since it says the Platinum Belt, I'd imagine maybe he was like a platinum miner or something like that, or was somehow involved in a strike made by platinum miners.
You're right. That is exactly it. But I just thought I'd share the other.
Hopefully helicopters weren't shooting at him. That might not lead to so much illusion.
Yeah, no.
And it says his helicopter, this is a great word, because it says his helicopter sports a television set. And I'm sure people, when they hear sports, they think of like, you know, soccer, football. But using it in that way as a verb, his helicopter sports a television set, a clock on the back of the seat, a two-way radio, and a fire extinguisher. What does it mean in that context, sports?
Oh, no. In this context, the helicopter sports these things means that it includes, it was added onto the helicopter, like includes. The helicopter includes these things.
Yeah, it's a great word to use here. And maybe people recently watched like the Oscars or the Grammys, and you watch like the red carpet and you might hear the reporters there saying like, oh, she's sporting a dress from, I don't know, like Gucci. I don't know, like designers and stuff, but they might say something along those lines, like, you know, about what this celebrity is wearing. And the engine is powered by petrol, and a motorbike battery is used to propel the rotor. So there's like a bunch of terms there. One is petrol, which is, I believe, the same word that we use in British English, but we'd say gasoline or gas in the US. And a motorbike battery is used to propel the rotor. So what is a rotor?
Yeah, it's the part that spins. Like, I don't know exactly what it's the part that keeps the... yeah, it spins.
Keeps it moving. and propel in that sense is just basically means like it makes it function, right? It makes it work. So it propels the rotor. And the rotor hub, I don't know exactly what that is, but I imagine it's like what holds the rotor. And it says it's housed in an old soft drink crate. So what's a soft drink?
A soft drink is, we would say a cold drink. We actually rarely call it a soft drink. So it's a beverage that contains gas, but no alcohol. That's what we would say.
A Coke would be a common one. Fanta.
Yeah. Non-alcoholic drinks.
A soft drink crate would be like I imagine probably made out of plastic, like a thing to carry many bottles
exactly.
of soft drink.
Oh, I just realized, Ethan, like, think the way to differentiate what is a soft drink. A soft drink is just a non-alcoholic beverage, because we would say if it's hard, it would be liquor. It would be alcoholic.
Right. Soft drinks and hard drinks. And then there's another term that you might hear with aviation, cockpit, which sounds, I don't know, it's a funny word. You'll hear like jokes and stuff with this word because it sounds like something else, but it's in fact a completely normal word that means, like, if you go on an airplane, the pilot's in the cockpit, and same with a helicopter, right?
Yeah, that's right. So, yeah, it's the area where the pilot...
The cockpit is built out of soft drink crates. Just can't imagine, you know, like, what that looks like. And then finally it says that the steering wheel is made from a PlayStation console. It's pretty interesting. What is that describing, the steering wheel?
A steering wheel is the part that you use in a vehicle to turn or to direct or to control the direction of the vehicle. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's usually round in a car, but I guess in a helicopter, it's different. And in an airplane, it's sort of got handles on the side, and I don't know exactly what.
Yeah, I love this. One's made from a PlayStation console. So I'm imagining it's like a PlayStation controller, right?
Exactly.
So I guess if any of you dear listeners have ever wanted to build a helicopter, you know, you can give it a go. Just like this man did. Mabata, right? Is his name?
Yeah, Mabata.
Mabata. Just like Mabata did, you can build a helicopter while listening to this podcast, maybe. So, Kase, thanks so much for finding that story coming from your home country. And please, dear listeners, let us know, reach out and let us know what you thought about that. And if you enjoyed it, we can bring you and break down more news stories like this. So enough said about that. Now let's help you to build some daily habits, which could be maybe reading the news with your daily tea or coffee. But we're going to have many more suggestions coming up in our main topic. Kase, I love that you broke this down into things that you can do in the morning, things you can do in the afternoon, things that you can do in the evening, things you can do if you just maybe have a short break at work. So maybe we can start off from people waking up in the morning and having to get ready to go to work or go to school or whatever they may do. What are some things that people could do in the morning as they're getting ready for their day?
Okay, so in the morning, you know, it's very easy to sort of just, you know, rush into your routine. But if you take the time, you know, to just, you have to make the effort. That's the first part. So the first thing you can do is, you know, take 5 minutes or so to just listen to a guided meditation or a TED talk, something inspiring to start your day.
Most definitely. And something I used to do as well was like motivational or inspirational videos, you know, that just, you know, they get you kind of like stoked up for your day. And actually, it really is a nice way. Like they'll use maybe different motivational talks from different successful people that we know and things like this that kind of will give you a dose of inspiration, a dose of energy to go out there and attack your dreams.
Yeah. And I think, I guess the main part of this is that you're listening to it in English. So you're inspired and you're learning new vocabulary. You're practicing your listening skills. It's really a relaxing and positive way to start your day.
Right. And I love it because it's too, it's like 5 minutes, right? Who doesn't have 5 minutes? Like I used to just do this while I was preparing my coffee or preparing my breakfast, just having this on in the background and you can kind of just, you know, be listening. It's even maybe not necessarily that you understand everything, but it's just kind of waking your brain up, getting you to start thinking English first thing in the morning.
Yeah, it's really, really good way to start. And I think like if you're, you know, while you're at it, you know, get out your journal and, you know, write one sentence or a quote in English. So you're, you know, you're listening to this awesome, you know, podcast or TED talk and yeah, get your notebook out and write down one sentence that you didn't know before or a quote.
It's a great tip. Yeah. And if you're not too keen on paper, you can always use like a note app on your phone, be it Notion, which we really love,
Notion, or yeah,
the note app on your iPhone, or be whatever you prefer. And while you're doing that too, you could do this maybe in your journal or on another piece of paper or on your phone, but actually like creating your to-do list for the day, what you're planning to do. I've heard different kind of like strategists or like self-development people talk about writing down, you know, what are the three things that you want to accomplish in your day? So like having just kind of three main things that if you're, when you get to the end of the day, you'll be really happy if you're able to do these three things. And then you can kind of come back to that at the end of the day and see, you know, how did I actually do on these things? So it kind of just helps you to get your head straight and think about, you know, what are my priorities for today? And if you do that in English, it's again, you're practicing. Maybe you think of like, oh, I don't know how to say this word. And you look it up and, you know, you've learned something new, even doing that.
That's a really great tip. I like that. I might try that myself.
Find more soft drink crates to build the cockpit. like something else, like we mentioned, you could read the news, but another really great thing you could do is there's something else I used to do is like if you have like Alexa or Google Home or any of these, what are they called? Like artificial intelligence, like the speakers. You can actually have it so that you say good morning, for example, and it starts reading off the news to you. And there's different podcasts and stuff. You don't have to have one of these things. You can just use the podcast. But like The Economist, for example, has like a really nice just 5 minute breakdown of what happened like in the last 24 hours all around the world. So you could, if you're maybe usually in the habit of reading or watching the news in your native language, this can be a good way to get some global news also in English and practice vocabulary related to that.
Yeah, that's a really great tip. I think that it also, you know, you could be doing that while you're getting dressed or while you're, you know, just getting ready, you know, in the morning, the shower or whatever you're doing. So I think that's really an effortless way. It's a cool, cool tip.
That's like we said, you kill two birds with one stone.
Perfect. Yeah.
Maybe if you're not so serious as to want to listen to the news or watch a TED talk, maybe you need something a bit lighter in the morning. What is something that someone could do?
You could watch one episode of a sitcom, which is, you know, usually around 20 minutes long, and it's a light and fun way to start your day. I mean, this is if you have the time to do it. And in that case, you could, you know, fit in learning new vocabulary, having a laugh, you know, just listening to sort of natural lighthearted conversation is always a good way to start your day.
Yeah. I like to actually do that sometimes too. You know, a series that I've already seen, actually just doing it while I'm like washing the dishes in the evening. Cause in the morning I do like more productive things. I like listening to podcasts and things like this because, you know, I'm more alert, more awake. But in the evening after I've been working all day, I need something like lighter like that. And so it could be a really great idea. Just maybe there's a series that you've already seen it in your native language and you know it really well and everything. You could just put it on in English while you're doing something else. You don't have to pay super close attention because you know the story, you know kind of like what happens and stuff. And you could just kind of like have it on as noise and be following along and like maybe listening for new words or things like this.
I think that's a really, really great way. I think that, you know, taking that 20 minutes to, as you said, listen to or watch something that you've already seen. So you can maybe just pay attention to intonation or the way someone says something. We spoke this week about, you know, maybe there's one line that, you know, a character says in the sitcom and you could maybe think about the way that person is saying it. Maybe Tiago mentioned this in earlier this week, and he was saying, for example, he'd hear a line, someone says, "Go to hell." He would say it with different emotions. So you hear the line and you're like, "Go to hell? Go to hell," angry voice, or sad voice, "Go to hell." So, you know, it's really just a fun way to really practice what you've heard this line a million times, you know, just practice.
And that is a great idea. Like maybe if you're just washing the dishes or you're cooking something or something like that, you can just be like shadowing along with what they're saying and trying to really capture what's the intonation that they're saying this with and everything. I love that. Something else like you could do certainly is listening to music. Like for example, on Spotify now they have it, so it's really easy, just like press a button and see the lyrics. So you could maybe be having your coffee or eating your breakfast and listening to a song that really helps to give you energy or that you just like really love, and you know, look at the lyrics and try to see the words, maybe even if you're comfortable with it, like sing along, because it's a really great way to work out your muscles of articulation.
Exactly. This is, I guess, a fun thing to do while you're driving. Maybe not so much on the bus or on the train, but I think...
You don't mind people staring at you.
Yeah. And I know in some countries, for example, you know, people like to be quiet, on the commute. They prefer to, you know, be quiet on trains and buses. But I know here, for example, it's okay. You can sing along, or not very loudly, but... It's acceptable.
They won't throw you off the transport.
No.
Just a quick interruption to ask you a question. Do you ever feel frustrated when you are listening to a podcast, watching a TV series, or you are in a conversation in English and you do not understand what is said? Wouldn't it be great if there was some way to understand real English without getting lost and without getting bored? Well, now there is. With our Real Life Native Immersion course, we will take you on a 41-week real-life adventure of the English language, each week exploring a different topic connected to our goal to help you understand and use your English in the real world. Just imagine understanding your favorite TV series without subtitles, or confidently speaking with someone and comprehending everything they say. You can do it, and we're here to help. And the best part is, you can try it for free with our 3-part Power Learning series. Just go to reallifeglobal.com/pod to sign up. That's P-O-D. Or simply click the link in the description of this episode. So maybe now you've arrived at work or arrived at your university or wherever you tend to spend your day. So what could someone do to make advantage, even though maybe they're working at hours a day, to still get in a bit of English practice during the day?
Okay, so while you're on your lunch break, maybe you have 15 minutes, half an hour, or longer, you can use this time to use social media to learn new phrases. So you could follow an account that posts in English or, you know, shares content in English. And you could use this time to just, you know, focus on learning new words, new phrases, new expressions. So yeah, this is, you know, a fun way to do it because you're on a break, you have the time, you're eating your lunch, and you can just, yeah, enjoy learning while you're eating lunch.
Yeah, that's such a great tip. Depending, you know, where you eat lunch and what you tend to do at work, there's all sorts of different ways they could use this time. Maybe in the morning, if you were watching that series and you noted down some words while you're watching, you could use that time while you're eating to look up those words and add them to like a spaced repetition like Anki or Memorize. You could maybe have like a book and be reading it. I mean, it depends. Like sometimes maybe you're more social during lunch, you're having lunch with your coworkers, but you could even, you know, just eat a bit faster and then excuse yourself and maybe use the rest of time and go have a conversation. If you need like that social time, go have a conversation on the Real Life app for 4 minutes or 20 minutes or whatever time you have. Because it's a really great way to make sure that during the day you're getting some English speaking practice. And that could go as well for during a coffee break as well, right? If you're just going to grab a coffee, maybe having one conversation on the app with someone for 5 minutes.
Yeah, that's a really, really great thing to do, is to actually use the time to practice, as you said, you know, words that you've learned earlier in the day, or maybe you use a word of the day calendar, or you get them, you know, through a different app. It's a great way to sort of go out and practice using those words. And the app, the Real Life app, is definitely a great way to use that time to practice.
Most definitely. So once you get home from work in the evening, maybe you're like me and it's kind of like you're, you know, wanting to have more relaxation time, unwind from your long day of work. What are some things that people could do once they get home from a busy day?
So I usually start cooking dinner when I get home from work. I work at home, work from home, so it's different. But I used
when you
to
walk
do
from one
time.
Room to the next, right?
Yeah, it's still, I still have to have that sort of separation. So I arrive in the kitchen and, you know, I have to decide what I want to cook. And I think a great way for you to use this time to practice your English is to, you know, find a recipe in English. And, you know, it, maybe it's something that you already know how to cook, but learn the recipe or go over the recipe in English. So you're practicing, you know, the new vocabulary, you're learning new vocabulary, and you can say it out loud as you're following it along. Maybe you're watching a video, maybe one of, you know, Gordon Ramsay or someone or, you know, other celebrity chef that you like, and you could, or, you know, yeah, you could just follow along and listen to the instructions in English.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I always think that's great too, to like get into the culture of the language that you're learning. So, you know, you could look up some American dish and like watch, you know, on a YouTube video of how it's made, or read the recipe, or some South African dish and, you know, give it a go. And it's kind of like, I mean, I used to like go all out with this. I'd be like, you know, when I was like learning French, I'd put on French music and like be cooking a French recipe and stuff.
Nice.
And like really try to get into that French lifestyle for like a little bit, wow. You know, in the kitchen. So you can make it a lot more fun, right?
Sorry, I was going to ask, were you wearing a beret? Or were you?
A beret.
Yeah.
With my wine, smoking a cigarette. Sorry for any of our French listeners.
Sorry, stereotypes. But yeah, that's a really, really great point, because I think it really helps you to get into what you're listening to and get into what you're learning when you make that effort to do it in.
Yeah. I like that sometimes this is called like kind of designing your bilingual lifestyle. So kind of thinking of these different things that you're already doing in your life. And it's like, what can you switch over to English and have these different moments in the day where you're just having contact with the language, and you can really turn it into like a fun time. You know, if maybe normally you're like, ah, I just got home from work, I don't want to have to cook dinner. But you know, if you're putting on some music that you really like and you're experimenting with something new, maybe you like get some new ingredients delivered and stuff. And maybe you even have like a friend who also speaks English and you want to do this together. It can be a really fun way to really kind of transform, you know, your life a little bit and have this bilingual lifestyle, even if you're not able to go live in a country where that language is spoken.
Exactly. I think I forgot to mention this earlier, but I mean, if you're using, you know, if you're using your devices all the time and you've, you know, you switch your devices as well as your social media accounts to English, you know, you're just spending more time seeing and using the language. And I think also with texting, I think if you have a friend, as you mentioned, who's also, you know, learning the language, is such a great way to just make more of a habit out of like texting or speaking in English, is by just doing it when you're you know, having little chats or connecting with friends.
I know members of our Fluency Circle community, which are the students of our different courses, that they absolutely love this, that at any time of day they can go and just open it up and start chatting with someone about, you know, what they did that day, or maybe a recipe they're cooking, or somewhere that they traveled, or whatever the case is. And this can be a great way that you just have ways to like read and write English and interact with people from all around the world any time of day. So that can be worth checking out. And there's all sorts of different ideas like this, like where you can kill two birds with one stone. For example, like I'm doing a course right now for project management. So usually I'll have lunch. Like I also work from home. So it's like I'll have lunch and like do, you know, 30 minutes of this course. So maybe there's something you've always wanted to learn, like go find a course for it in English and do that online, or maybe find a teacher who speaks English who can teach it to you.
That's a really great tip. And you're really like, you know, fitting it into your life. You're not, it doesn't feel like a pain, like, oh my gosh, I have to go and study grammar now. It's really just like you're fitting it into your life. Maybe you want to read more in English. I think, you know, we talk about like deliberate practice, and I think, you know, actually reading and making that effort to know more, to understand more words too. So instead of, you know, only thinking of it as a boring chore, like thinking about it as like, you know, I'm going to get better. I'm going to learn to read this book. I have a student who said that she always wanted to read literature in English. Her favorite book is Pride and Prejudice by Jane Austen. And she's been reading it in Portuguese, but she can't read it in English. So now she's making like a fun sort of task out of it by reading a paragraph in English and then, you know, thinking about it and like talking about what it means to her, what she understands. And it's only one paragraph at a time. It's going to take her forever. Maybe she'll expand to like a page. But yeah, it's just like making reading a part of your daily routine and making it more deliberate is also a fun way to learn.
That's a great idea. Yeah, I love that. I mean, if it's anything that you really love and you're really motivated to understand, that's always going to help a lot. But yeah, I often will read in languages that I'm like a learner of. Like it's another way to kill two birds with one stone is reading before bed. So it kills two birds with one stone because like I'll read in bed and like it helps me to kind of like calm my mind, and then I can fall asleep really easily. So maybe if you're someone who carries the stress from the day, you have like your mind's very like busy at night and you have trouble kind of like turning off, that could be maybe interesting for you to find some book you're really interested in reading in English and you know, read for a few minutes, and then your brain will just eventually turn off.
Or if it doesn't, if your brain doesn't turn off, maybe use that time to like just think about what you just read, you know, like note it down in your notebook or journal or whatever you're using, your app. Just write down your thoughts on what you just read, or, you know, new words you've learned. So yeah, maybe then you'll get tired and go to sleep.
A sleep meditation or something like that in English. That could help as well. So if you head over to Instagram, if you want to get even more tips on how you can make English a fun part of your everyday life and help you break out of intermediate English, Kase is going to be doing a live on this topic this week. So be sure to go and follow us on Instagram at reallife.english so you don't miss out on that. And dear listener, thanks so much for joining us here on the Real Life English Podcast. And we're looking forward to seeing you next week. 1, 2, 3. Aww, yeah. Hey again, I hope you enjoyed today's lesson. Don't be a stranger. You can find all the notes like vocabulary, links, and more for this lesson on our blog at reallifeglobal.com. And connect with us and on Instagram at reallife.english for even more fun English recommendations. Do you want to continue your learning and get confident, fluent English? Then I have a couple great recommendations for you. First of all, check out our YouTube channel, Learn English with TV Series, where you can have fun learning to understand fast-speaking natives with your favorite movies, series, and more without getting lost, without missing the jokes, and without subtitles. Second, if you like our podcast, then our real-life native immersion course is perfect for you. It is the next best thing to studying abroad in an English-speaking country. Try it for free with our three-part power learning series. Just go to reallifeglobal.com/pod to sign up. Finally, if you are enjoying our podcast, then please assist us in helping more people go beyond the classroom and live their English. You can do this by sending a link to this podcast to a friend or by leaving us a 5-star review wherever you are listening. We might even shout you out on the podcast. Stay healthy and safe, and I look forward to seeing you next week. Aw, yeah.